Hey, Mom! It's here! And what a week it has been. The Pope took over the Eastern Seaboard. Volkswagen shot itself in the Farfanugan, if you will, and John Boehner surprised everybody stepping down as Speaker of the House at the same time that the Pope was addressing the United Nations. I thought Wolf Blitzer's head was going to explode. And you are in the center of it all. Welcome, friends, to another edition of the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. And even though the world may be coming to America, we never get too far away from home. And that's why we always like to lead off the program, Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast, with our weekly letter from home. Because, friends, as you know, no matter how far you roam, there's simply no place like home. Even if you leave the Vatican, which seems to have been the only news this past week. Anyway, the Pope chose not to come to Pittsburgh for two reasons. The Primanti sandwiches that could feed a crowd of 5,000 without any miracles. And secondly, that Fiat 500 simply couldn't make it up our hills. Love that car that he was driving. Actually, if the Pope had come to Pittsburgh, no doubt he'd have come by train. And we only have two trains that come into our dingy Amtrak station here anyway. So Philadelphia was just as fine a choice as anything. The push is on to get Pittsburgh Mayor Bill to get us good train service that actually goes somewhere from a station that doesn't look like a third world country. No offense, but enough of that. The fever is definitely back, and it's black and gold in the city as the Pirates clinched the playoffs for the third year in a row. They've won over 90 games, and we all now are chiming in with the Pirate players, who all are happy but say, "We want the world," or at least the World Series. Or as the Doors once said, "We want the world and we want it now," or something like that. The Steelers have been elevated to this could happen status as they trounced the 49ers last Sunday with a remarkable performance from Big Ben, who got a pat on the back from the NFL as offensive something or other of the week. And bookies are all a flutter about the return of Le'Veon Bell, knowing that his appearance in the backfield isn't just Mike Tomlin blowing smoke. Well, that's maybe not a good choice of words, but anyway, Steeler Nation, here we go, Steelers, here we go. Speaking of going, we're not going anywhere in Pittsburgh, as Zillow, who lists home values across the nation, says that home prices here have fallen in the last year, and more than a third of Pittsburgh homes have lost value. We now bow our heads in silence for Howard Hanna. Thank you. It's really not that big of a story, since we all know Pittsburghers never go anywhere, except for Heinz Field or PNC Park, and thank God we don't have to take an Amtrak to either of those destinations. I'm Stoney Richards, and that's this week's letter from home, and in keeping with the theme set this week by Papa Francis, go in peace. My thanks to our musical conductor, Johnny Greco.
Let the dancing begin.
Come now to the portion of the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast about mistakes. And it seems these days more and more people are making more and more mistakes, and no bigger mistake was made than in Germany. You've probably heard by now, Volkswagen rigged emission tests on about 2.8 million diesel vehicles in Germany, the country's transport minister said on Friday, nearly six times as many as it has admitted to falsifying in the United States. His comments pointing to cheating on a bigger scale than previously thought deepened the crisis at the world's largest automaker as its supervisory board held a crucial meeting. The board is widely expected to name Matthias Müller, the head of its Porsche sports car division, as chief executive to replace Martin Winterkorn, who quit on Wednesday, and at least four senior executives are expected to be purged. Talk about Farfanogen, huh? Shares in the German company, which had started to steady after sharp falls earlier this week, were down 4.5%. Bloomberg reported that executives in Germany controlled aspects of the manipulated U.S. tests, citing three people familiar with the U.S. business. Volkswagen is under heavy pressure to show it can get to grips with the biggest business-related scandal in its 78-year history. Mueller, 62, would represent part of the fresh start that Winterkorn said was needed when he stepped down. The board will also dismiss the head of its U.S. business, the top engineers of its luxury Audi and Porsche brands, and the head of brand development at its VW division. Wow! Sources adding aim to show it's acting decisively to end the crisis. Volkswagen shares have plunged as much as 40%, wiping tens of billions of euros off its market value since U.S. regulators said last Friday it had admitted to programming diesel cars to detect when they were being tested and alter the running of their engines to conceal their true emissions. Scandal keeps growing. German Transport Minister Alexander Dobrindt said on Thursday Volkswagen had also cheated tests in Europe, where its sales are much higher, and on Friday put the number of affected vehicles in Germany at 2.8 million. Regulators and prosecutors across the world investigating the scandal. The wider car market has been rocked, with manufacturers fearing a drop in sales of diesel cars across the board and tighter regulations, while customers and motor dealers are furious that Volkswagen has yet to say whether it will have to recall any cars at all. VW needs to be very open about what has happened, how it was possible that this could happen, to make sure that this never happens again in the future, said a leading Volkswagen shareholder, underlining the importance of the board meeting. He went on to say these are priorities that should override all other considerations at the moment. The task facing Mueller, if his selection is confirmed, is huge. The company said on Tuesday 11 million vehicles worldwide were fitted with the software that allowed it to cheat U.S. tests. What were they thinking? While adding it was not turned on in the bulk of them. Analysts hope that on Friday it may at last say which models and construction years are affected and whether cars will need to be refitted. Oh my gosh. They also expected to announce a full investigation of the scandal, with German newspaper Handelsblatt saying it planned to hire U.S. law firm Jones Day to lead a no-holds-barred inquiry and to give the outlines of a new management structure likely to be less centralized but with a clearer system of checks. Yes, Volkswagen has long been seen as a symbol of German industrial prowess. I had two bugs, and they had no bugs in them, and the auto industry is one of the country's major employers and a key source of export revenue. Earlier this month, Volkswagen delivered a presentation to investors at the annual Frankfurt Motor Show entitled Stability in Volatile Times. Now Chancellor Angela Merkel is urging it to act quickly to restore confidence in the Volkswagen name. Frank Schellenberg, a taxi driver in Wolfsburg, where the car maker employs around 70,000 people, said locals felt betrayed and feared the worst. He went on to say they have lost any contact with the real world, the customers who have been buying their cars in good faith, pointing to the firm's 13-story administrative building. Everyone in Wolfsburg is expecting tough times and job cuts. Half a dozen Greenpeace protesters were outside Volkswagen's Wolfsburg plant on Friday, waving banners saying no more lies in front of three diesel-engine VW Golf hatchbacks. Evercore ISI analyst Arndt Ellinghorst said he would welcome the appointment of Mueller, a former head of product strategy and close to the Piëch Porsche family that controls Volkswagen. But Bernstein's Max Warburton questioned whether a man who has spent more than three decades at the company was the right man to signal a break with the past. He favors Herbert Diess, a former research and development chief of rival BMW, who is hired to run the VW brand in December. VW needs to think big and bold, Warburton said, urging the new CEO to offer to buy back and scrap almost 500,000 diesel cars sold in the United States, which would cost about $6 billion as well as suspend the 100 engineers most closely associated with the affected engines and software. Wow. Another top Volkswagen shareholder said it would have been better for Winterkorn to sort out the crisis before handing over to a successor, pointing to how oil company BP managed its recovery from the 2010 Gulf of Mexico oil spill. I would have preferred Winterkorn to have stuck around for another month or so through the worst of the storm, then the company appoint another CEO. Environmentalists have long complained that carmakers gamed the vehicle testing regime to exaggerate the fuel efficiency and emissions readings of their vehicles. The International Council on Clean Transportation, one of the research groups that helped uncover Volkswagen's deception, has published new data showing carbon dioxide emissions in European road tests were on average 40% higher than the laboratory results advertised in car sales literature. European politicians on Wednesday voted to speed up a tightening of testing rules. Not so much sorry as we're getting to it. We're getting to it.
Let the dancing begin.
The army's making headlines, maybe telling white lies. They wanna run the nation, the Kim Kardashians.
Time once again for another exciting episode of The Clindashians. In today's episode, Hillary listens in on a conversation Bill is having with the Donald.
I know, Donald, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, the polls are...
Bill, I'm telling you, the media is stacked against me. Nobody loves the media more than I do. I tell them that every Sunday morning.
Now, listen, Donald, they have a job to do, and you are the story, whether you're up in the polls or down. As a matter of fact, you're a bigger story with bad ratings than good.
But they're treating me unfairly, Bill, so I am declaring a moratorium on them.
It doesn't work that way, pal. You think they'd have given Hillary a break if we hadn't gone to your wedding? And what about her current polls? I mean, it's taken everything I've got to keep my mouth shut. And seriously, Donald, you just gotta listen more, smile more, and be less mean.
Bill, we've known each other for a long time. Listen to me. Say you'll be my vice president.
I told you he was good, Donald.
Good? I want to be his running mate. Why don't all three of us get together and run as a triumvirate, kind of a trumperette, you know? We'll be better than anybody else. They'll love us, and I'll build us a huge White House, bigger and more beautiful than ever, and everybody will love it. I'll tear down that wall. Listen to me. I'll get a haircut.
There he goes again. I think you better talk to him, Hillary.
Now calm down, or we're going to have you talk to Carly Fiorina.
Oh, no, not that.
Did somebody call my name, Donald? Are you being bad again?
Carly, you're a beautiful woman. I love your face.
All right, Donald, cut the crap. Now sit down, and let's talk this out.
Oh, jeez, anything but that.
Well, really? Anything but that? Then how about if not that, then this? Find out what this is in our next exciting episode of The Clindashians.
Oh.
Well, 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 never a dull moment, never a dull moment when you've got the Clintdashians. Oh, be listening next week. The Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast already in progress, ladies and gentlemen. And as we like to do week to week and every week that we do this program, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the evening sports dish. So let's get right to it, shall we? Well, it's happening again. Even though most NFLers in the know have picked the Steelers to no more than an 8-8 season, with a big win Sunday against the 49ers, we all have renewed hopes that no matter how mediocre the Steelers may seem this year, here we go. No longer do the bar discussions in Pittsburgh end with somebody pining for Bruce Arians. No longer do we wonder if Ben and Todd Haley have truly seen the light. We now see a love affair in full bloom as Ben Roethlisberger no longer ends games more beat up than Heinz Field turf in November. The Steelers seem to have turned over a new leaf, whether they have or not. Yes, one stunning victory with a fast-moving offense is all you need in this town to get everybody back on track. I'll bet if the Pope had visited the Berg, he'd have heard confessions from the faithful begging forgiveness for ever doubting the black and gold. The stage is set, my friends, for the blessings of another great week. The Steelers play the hapless St. Louis Rams, and whether or not the Rams are hapless, if there's one thing you learn in writing sports copy, it's that once on a roll, there's never a limit as to how many cliches you can use. Le'Veon Bell returns to the potent Steeler offense. Potent! I say potent with Steelers and offense in the same sentence. Or, as in the 1970 rock song from Free stated, it's all right now, baby, it's all right now. Woo! The papers are filled with pictures of Ben, and Ben is crediting everyone with his success, from Heath Miller to Mike Munchak's superb running of the offensive line, allowing him time to carry out the plays that Todd Haley dictates from the sidelines. Maurice Pouncey may have bounced himself out of a job since the Steelers, unlike the last time Pouncey poofed early in the season, haven't flinched, looked back, or wondered when his return will happen. No, no! It's full speed ahead, and let's face it, a record of 1-1 is no 8-8, but 2-1 could easily signal a Super Bowl come February in the Berg. To which you may say, how can I say that? Well, wasn't it the Pope himself who once said, do you believe in miracles? I'm Stoney Richards, and at Sports from my vantage point, high in the booth!
Get out there and hit some people!
My friends, it is almost impossible to keep up with the news of the day each day because it's happening so fast. Thus, did you hear the news today? And I don't know if you heard the news yet. Maybe you were watching the Pope or something. But even then, with the split screen, it became a little absurd and bizarre as the Pope was addressing those at the 9/11 Memorial in New York. And on the split screen, after having just walked out of the United Nations and driven down to where the 9/11 Memorial sits in Manhattan, there's the split screen of John Boehner with breaking news that he's leaving. I mean, it was just a very bizarre Friday. And as I said at the outset of this program, I thought Wolf Blitzer was going to just explode. Thank God Christiane Amanpour was there to calm him down. But the story out of Washington is this, and it's true, Speaker John Boehner, under intense pressure from conservatives in his party, announced on Friday that he would resign one of the most powerful positions in government and give up his House seat at the end of October as Congress moved to avert a government shutdown. Mr. Boehner, who was first elected to Congress in 1990, made the announcement in an emotional meeting with his fellow Republicans on Friday morning. The Ohio representative struggled from almost the moment he took the Speaker's gavel in 2011 to manage the challenges of divided government and to hold together his fractious and increasingly conservative Republican members. Most recently, Mr. Boehner, 65, was trying to craft a solution to keep the government open through the rest of the year, but was under pressure from a growing base of conservatives who told him that they would not vote for a bill that did not defund Planned Parenthood. I had a 65 Boehner. Remember those 65 Boehners? Man, those things would just tear down the block. Mr. Boehner's stunning announcement lessens the chance of a government shutdown next week as Republican leaders in Congress will push for a short-term funding measure to keep the government operating, and the speaker will no longer be deterred by those who threatened his job. Word is that he was going to retire seriously to Florida and continue playing golf, where he apparently has a great handicap. Not his Republican friends, but his handicap in golf, and he's going to play, and so thus improve his tan. It'll be up to the majority of the members of the House now to choose a new leader, and the leading candidate is Representative Kevin McCarthy at this reading of California, the majority leader who is widely viewed more favorably by the more conservative members. The preferred candidate among many Republicans, Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, says he don't want the job. John Boehner has been a great leader of the Republican Party and the House of Representatives, Mr. Ryan said Friday in a prepared statement. This was an act of pure selflessness. John's decades of service have helped move our country forward, and I deeply value his friendship. We will miss John, and I am confident our conference will elect leaders who are capable of meeting the challenges our nation faces. I wish John and his family well as he begins the next phase of his life, which no doubt will have room to be a commentator on Fox News. Representative Charlie Dent, Republican of Pennsylvania, said the next speaker is going to have a very tough job. The fundamental dynamics don't change. Mr. Dent said there was a lot of sadness in the room, thus the tears, from Mr. Boehner. Oh my gosh. When Mr. Boehner made his announcement to colleagues, he blamed the hard right members who he said were unwilling to govern. It's clear to me that the rejectionist members, I'm a rejectionist, of our conference clearly had an influence on his decision, Mr. Dent said. That's why I'm not happy about what happened today. We still have important issues to deal with, and this will not be easier for the next guy, heretofore known as the next guy, the honorable next guy. The fundamental dynamics don't change, Mr. Dent said. The dynamics are this. There are anywhere from 2 to 4 dozen members who don't have an affirmative sense of governance. They can't get to yes. Just get to yes. They just can't get to yes, and so they undermine the ability of the speaker to lead. And not only do they undermine the ability of the speaker to lead, but they undermine the entire Republican conference and also help to weaken the institution of Congress itself. And that, he says, is the reality. Thus, ladies and gentlemen, the meaning of this program, Stoney Richards live from the center. We have those on the far left, we have those on the far right, and no one comes to the center to get things done. And that's what I always try to do with this program, is keep things in the center, down the middle, get a little governance, and as my colleagues always tell me, good luck with that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we come to a portion of the program that is often used in the making of movies, of which I try to make as many as possible. It's the last shot of the day, and what it's come to be known as on movie sets around America, and I guess around the world, is the martini, but especially in the United States, because we love our martinis, because it's the last shot of the movie. You take the you do the scene, and then everybody knows it's time to go home, or at least go out and get yourself a drink. So, and usually the last shot of the day is maybe a shorter scene, one that you can set up, get it, give boom boom, do the lines, and we're done. And so it's the martini shot. So what I like to do usually at the end of the program is have the martini shot for you, all set to go. A little explanation, because I don't think we've ever done the martini on the show. And so, let us begin with our martini for this week's edition of Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. And this comes to us, well, from the web. Actually, from the airport. Actually, from somewhere in an airplane. This is kind of spooky. A tarantula Yes, the spider. A tarantula that escaped in the cargo hold of a passenger flight from Maryland's BWI airport to Atlanta grounded the plane and sent passengers on to another flight. If you're sitting down now, did you reach down to just kind of stroke your ankle a little bit? If you're running, did you, your gait change? If you're sitting, did you just kind of move around a little bit? Because it happened to me when I first read this. Brian Kruse, spokesman for Delta Airlines, a fine airline, ladies and gentlemen, told the Baltimore Sun that baggage handlers noticed a baboon tarantula. No, don't get them wrong. It's a baboon tarantula had escaped, oh God, from its container on flight 1525 on Wednesday night. Get those damn spiders off my plane! Cruz says the captain grounded the plane. Oh man, you're sitting in those small seats. Cruz says the captain grounded the plane so it could be searched for any additional arachnids. Spiders. Passengers were put on another flight. Cruz says the spider was confined at the cargo hold and never entered the cabin. And they got him. No other tarantulas were found. The next time you board... And by the way, this tarantula got through. How did he get through TSA? Was he not given a full check of all eight legs, not just the front ones? Our martini for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Well, as I always like to say, if that don't do it, I don't know what will. So comes to an end another absolutely wasted 26 minutes of your time. The Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. Thanks for joining us. My thanks to Kelly Pigeon, our creative director. Of course, the lovely musings and stylings of our music director, one Johnny Grieco, and everybody who contributed to this program. You can listen to it over and over again and begin to memorize each phrase that is used in the program, because next week there will be a quiz. Only kidding. Thanks for listening. We love you, Jeff Horowitz. I'm Stoney Richards. You've been listening to the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast.